All right, if you keep your Bibles open to John chapter 4, as you already know, this is a very special month here at First Baptist Church, where we focus on the responsibility that God has given to us as a body of Christ to reach our world for Christ. Our theme for this year, for our missions month, is Till the Whole World Knows. And the theme verse is Mark 16:15. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Quite often I'm asked, Pastor, why do we set aside a whole month? Why not just one Sunday or maybe just a weekend? Why a whole month? Of course, this month we have a different missionary coming every Sunday. We have one come next Sunday and the following Sunday. And the Sunday mornings are going to present their ministry. Sunday night be preaching a message with us. But why a whole month? And so I will answer that question throughout my message. And so why do we have a missions month? So if you look at your Bibles again, in John chapter 4, look in verse 31. John 4:31. I'd like to begin with that we focus on this missions month and look at some important distractions, things that distract us from accomplishing the thing God would have us to do. In verse 31, look what it says there. Notice the first four words. It says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed and saying, Master, eat. What this means that while they were wanting to have food because they were hungry and had a long day, something else was going on. I'd like to back up to the very first part of the chapter to see the context. What was going on while they were sitting down to eat? And if we're back up in chapter 4, look with me in verse 3, please. Chapter 4, verse 3. Is that the context? See what's going on here and while they were desiring to have food to eat. Verse 3, it says, he, talking about the Lord Jesus, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And it said, verse 4, and he must needs go through what? Samaria. Look here, please. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They had a tremendous negative desire, a negative thing towards them. The Jews, when they would leave Judea and go to Galilee, the direct route, the easiest route, the shortest route was through Samaria. But the Jews, because of their hatred of the Samaritans, would take a long route. It would be like trying to go through Atlanta and go through the bypass to get around it. They had a bypass, which cost them much more time and effort, just so they would not have any contact with the Samaritans. For example, let's suppose you'll come into the church here during the week, and you turn off Highway 41 on School Road down here south. And as soon as you turn on School Road, your car broke down and just quit working. And so you were sitting there beside the road. Another church member who was coming to the church also saw you and picked you up and brought you to the church and dropped you off here. And they kept going. They had another thing they had to do. And so you called the record service. Maybe it was AAA. I'm not sure what you used. And you said, my car broke down. And so you made arrangements, and they said, we'll meet you at your car in about half hour to 45 minutes. And so I said, can you be there? I said, sure, I can be there. Now, to get back there, the shortest route would be go walk right back down School Road. But you begin to think, about halfway down the right-hand side, there was a person that you've had some real negative history with. In fact, you have come to the place that you didn't want anything to do with them. You despise them. I'm not about to even go by their house. And so just to avoid going by their house, you decide, well, I'm going to go north here and hit Community Center Road, and I'll walk over to 41, and I'll walk down 41 and get down there just to avoid that people that you cannot stand. That was the Jews. They had a direct route, which was much shorter, to go through Samaria to get to Galilee, and they said, not us. And so, but interesting, the key phrase, I think, of the whole chapter there is we see in verse 4, to my he, that Christ, he must needs go through Samaria. In other words, there was a need in Samaria, as a spiritual need, that would cause him to do something that Jews would not normally do. Something that caused him to must go through there, and it was the salvation of a woman, and ultimately a whole crowd of people. So Jesus saw a need there that caused him to do something that most Jews would not normally do. So look again, if you will please. Back in chapter 4, verse 31, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Let me back up again. When Jesus went through Samaria, he stopped at a well to get a drink. The disciples continued to go past that and went into the city to get food. Now, if you notice, look what it said here. It says in verse 6, please. Chapter 4, verse 6. It says, now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, and look over to verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Verse 8, for the disciples have gone away in the city to buy meat. Verse 9, thus saith the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is he that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, the well is deep, from whence hast thou that living water? Verse 13, Jesus saith unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Let's skip over to verse 25, please. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked to the woman. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, saith unto the men, come and see, which a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. Here's what's going on. Jesus was now with the disciples who went in the city to get meat. They brought meat back. And already the woman that Christ talked to realized she was talking to the Messiah. Notice what she did. She went there for water, but left her water pot there. Forgot why she went there. She went back to the city and began to tell everybody in the city she found the Messiah. And then a whole crowd came back with her back to where Christ was. And that's why the disciples there were going to have a meal with Christ. And basically, there was something distracting the disciples from doing what the most important thing was. So the title of my message is keeping the most important issue our primary concern. Many times, everyday important matters can distract us from a more important matter. Let's talk about some important matters we have every day in life. One's physical needs, food, clothing, shelter. Their issue this time was food. They've been traveling most of the day. Christ was thirsty. He stopped and got a drink. Well, the disciples went to get food. They brought food back. So the focus on an important matter, food. How many believe food is important? It's just part of every life. You ever thought about the time and energy and that you put in getting food? Well, the men go off to work to make money to buy food. Once he gets a paycheck, the wives go to the grocery store and buy the food, come back home and cook the food and all the preparations. A lot of time and effort goes into food. How about clothing? The same thing. Think about the time you have to go to the grocery store to buy clothing. You buy it for yourself, your children, and then they outgrow it. You got to buy more clothes. And just all the time it goes into for clothing. How about shelter? Taking care of your house and responsibilities of doing that. In fact, interesting, this month in my house, all the trees are dropping leaves. There's leaves everywhere. In fact, they almost get several inches thick on the driveway, so we blow them off, and guess what? The next day, they're right back. And so all the time it takes in the repair and the maintenance and taking care of the lawn, all that time. So think of the time that goes into getting food and clothing and shelter. Now, these are important matters. Another important matter is family responsibilities. Interesting. Now that I'm old, my children are grown. I have almost forgot how much time kids take. My daughter now has two children, grandchildren, and boy, the time it takes just to take care of kids. My Both my grandkids are in the school. The three-year-old comes up here and goes home at noontime. So when I leave at lunchtime, I pick her up from school. I take her home. Have lunch. I come back. Then it's 3 o'clock, I pick up the six-year-old and take her home. My wife watches them in the afternoon and bring them back. And so even when you're the kids don't want part of the time. They want all your attention. So think of the time and attention that goes to your families. So you have physical needs. You have family responsibilities. How about your health? Think of the time, especially as you get older. Our health requires a lot more time, does it not? All the attention we have to go and go to the doctors. And especially now during this pandemic, all the attention we put on keeping ourselves healthy if possible. Wearing masks, social distancing, keeping your hands clean. That's all part of these are important things. How about job? The responsibility you have, those of you that work full time. All the time that goes into that. So you think of all these are important things, important matters. Health, physical needs, family responsibilities, and job, all are important. In fact, the Bible says taking care of these is part of our faith. In 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul told Timothy, "But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than infidel." So taking care of these important matters is part of our faith as a Christian. But listen to me careful. As important these things are, they can distract us from what is more important. Let me talk about the most important matter. It's interesting to note the disciples' behavior in this chapter. They were more concerned about physical food than the spiritual need of others. They wanted to fill their bellies. But Christ was focusing on the spiritual needs of those around him. Christ was weary, thirsty, and certainly hungry. But he put spiritual matters above his own physical comfort and needs. So the most important matter are the spiritual need, the salvation of the unsaved. Again, you think of all the time, effort, and money we put into important matters we talked about. But they can distract us from something that's more important. And that's reaching the lost for Christ. While the disciples were out buying food, which is a good thing, Christ is winning souls, which was a better thing. Important matters sometimes can consume all our time, all our attention, all our finances, that we have no time for the more important matter. And that's reaching people for Christ. So, Pastor, why do we put a whole month on missions? Because it's my desire that what Christ did with disciples, that we take a few moments and lay aside the important matters and focus on the most important matter. And that's reaching people for Christ. And so that's important distractions. Now, number two, let's talk about a neglected priority. A neglected priority. Look in verse 34, please. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish my work." Jesus was trying to teach his disciples a priority. They were talking about physical food. He says, "My meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." In other words, the priority of the spiritual over the physical. Their attention was on the physical, food. Christ's attention was on the spiritual, the salvation of lost people. When Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of them that sent me," in these words, he was teaching a priority, what is the most important for the apostles. Someone once said this, "Let the salvation of souls lie nearer in your heart than the necessities of life itself." That's what is true to Christ. Where the disciples were focused on the physical, Christ was focusing on the spiritual. In other words, let eating, drinking, labor, and rest, personal and family cares, and all other important things be secondary to the accomplishment of reaching others for Christ. That's what he was trying to get them to understand. Their attention was physical. Christ's attention was spiritual. Go with me now, if you'll please. Keep your finger in John. Go to Matthew 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Christ said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Matthew 6:31, a familiar passage, but again, it helps us to set the right priorities in everyday life. Matthew 6:31, keep your finger in John, we're coming right back to that. Verse 31, Jesus said, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the unsaved, seek. He goes and says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first. The word first is the word of priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? And here's what Christ is saying. He said, you put what's important to me first, and I'll take care of your needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, what things? What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to be clothed with, shall be added unto you. I must rather be like the unsaved, who are only concerned about the physical needs. The Lord's disciples should also be concerned about the things of God's kingdom, his righteousness, and spiritual things. Jesus urges his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God, and with it would come the full care and provision of God. Let me say that again. Jesus urges disciples to seek first the kingdom of God, and with it would come the full care and provision of God. God says, you take care of what I want, and I'll take care of what you need. That's what he's saying here. So what he's talking about, a priority of the spiritual over the physical. But also another neglected priority is the priority of people over prejudice. Of people over prejudice. Remember, the Jews were very prejudiced to the Samaritans. Wanted nothing to do with them. But there was many of them need to be saved. Christ's love for mankind involved no boundaries, for he lovingly and compassionately reached out to a woman who was a social outcast. And notice here, unlike the other Jews, Jesus was not prejudiced because of her person. She was a Samaritan. In fact, she herself was marveled. And so why do you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, this a Samaritan? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. She was surprised. But Jesus put her needs above his own. In other words, unlike other Jews, he was not prejudiced because of her person. But also, he was not prejudiced because of her character. What kind of woman was this he met at the well? Go back to John, please. And look with me, will please. In John chapter 4, verse 16. This woman was despised by the Jews, but also she was shunned by her own people. Probably left up disciples, they would have had nothing to do with her because she was a Samaritan. Though Christ saw her need and loved her in spite of who she was. But also, notice her character. She was living in sin. Look in verse 16, please. John 4:16. It says, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said well. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou hast is not thy husband. And thou hast said it truly. In other words, you think she was from Hollywood. She'd been married five times. And this time she was married to a woman, another man that was not even her husband. So she was an adulteress and a fornicator. And not only is she despised by the Jews, she was shunned by her own people. Now, if you saw earlier, when Christ went to the well, it was about the sixth hour. And that meant it was about noontime, the hottest part of the day. Generally, when a Samaritan woman would go get water, they would go there in groups, either early in the morning or late in the afternoon when it was cooler. But what it meant, if a Samaritan woman came alone at 12 o'clock, it may indicate that her public shame caused her to be isolated from all other women. So she was despised by the Jews. She was shunned and shamed by her own people. Yet Christ saw her need and laid aside his physical need and saw her spiritual need and sought to win her to himself. So that is a neglected priority. So distractions, everyday life, things are important to us, can distract us from what is more important, reaching people for Christ. But also a neglected priority. The priority of people over prejudice, and also the priority of the spiritual over the physical. Now, let's talk about the third thing, a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency. Look in verse 35, please. John 4:35. We saw a neglected priority, now a sense of urgency. Christ said, say not ye, that there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus used the fact that they were surrounded by crops growing in the field, waiting to be harvested, and used it as an object lesson to illustrate the urgency to reach the lost. The white fields that are white ready to harvest were not referring to the crops around them, but the Samaritans were coming to meet Christ. Remember why he was talking to the disciples who brought food? Remember the Samaritan woman went back to the city, told the men, and brought a great big group back with her. And as they were talking about food, he said, lift up your eyes. And you see the fields white, all ready to harvest. And what they saw was a multitude of Samaritans coming. They're all dressed in white robes. There's your harvest. There's the people that need Christ. And he said, lift up your eyes. And so they're white, all ready to harvest. In other words, the harvesting of souls is a matter of utmost urgency. Their focus was on food. Christ's focus was on these lost people without him. So the harvesting of souls is a matter of utmost urgency. Let's talk about urgency just for a moment. The urgency to care. An urgency to care. Go to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. There is an urgency for people to care about those around them without Christ. Matthew 9. It says in verse 36, Matthew 9, 36. It says in verse 36, but when he, talking about Christ, saw the multitudes, he was what? Moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. By the way, how do you respond when you see a big crowd of people? Especially today. Usually for social distance, we go the other way. But Christ, when he saw his multitude, he was moved. In other words, inside him, he was moved with compassion. And he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And so he had tremendous care upon them. In Psalm 126, verse 5, please listen to this verse. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheep with him. He that goeth forth and weepeth. When's the last time you wept over someone without Christ? When's the last time you shed tears with a loved one who was not saved? Chances are most of us have not done that. When Christ saw the multitude, he was what? Moved inside with compassion. So there's a tremendous urgency for people just to care. Do you care about the lost? Do you care about people that are not saved? The apostles' care was the belly, food. Christ was concerned about those without Christ, without him. An urgency to care, but also the urgency to pray. Look in verse 37, please, in Matthew 9. Verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what? You ever thought, why are there so few laborers reach people for Christ? The problem is people don't care. The harvest is plenteous. Many people without Christ. But because so many Christians do not care, the laborers are few. But here's the solution, verse 38. He says, pray, therefore, the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. So there's an urgency to care. There's an urgency to pray. And lastly, an urgency to go. An urgency to go. Our theme verse for this month is Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, you know, the mission committee, we meet several times in preparation for this month. And we pray that God will raise up people from our church to go. Have you ever considered going? Even across the street to talk to your neighbor. Have you ever considered going? There's an urgency to go. He said, go ye, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel. Isaiah 6, verse 8. It's on the screen for you. Isaiah said, also I heard a voice, and the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then Isaiah responded, then said I, here am I, send me. During this month, I will encourage you, see the urgency to care, the urgency to pray, but also the urgency to go. And as you're challenged by our missionaries about people without Christ, would you consider praying the Lord to send people in the harvest? Would you consider possibly going? There's a real urgency and need with people without Christ for someone to care, someone to pray, and someone to go. The Lord's invitation is still the same. Whom shall I send? Whom shall go for us? Hopefully you respond by saying, Lord, here am I, send him. No, here am I, send me. So we saw distractions, important distractions. We saw the neglected priority. We saw a sense of urgency. And lastly, the necessary solution. Go back to John, please. Back to John 4. Here's the solution to the problem that Jesus presented to these disciples who are focusing on the physical rather than the spiritual. The necessary solution. Verse 35, the latter part of it, he said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Fix your attention on a higher and more important matters. It is so easy for you and I to get bogged down with everyday matters. All the activities, all the responsibilities, all things, even during this COVID situation, our health, to focus on our needs and our responsibilities and what happens here. Solution is? Lift your eyes and look around you. Look to the needs of others, the spiritual needs of those without Christ. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields for the white already to harvest. The next thing, why do we have a whole month of missions? Here's the reason why. The reason we have missions month, it causes us to lift up our eyes and focus on what is crucial and most important. All this year, our focus is on important matters. Now this month, I'm trying to get you to do what Christ told his disciples to do. Look up. Look around you. There's people dying and going to hell that need Christ. And we get so caught up in everyday life, we forget that. We neglect that. And in other words, the reason for Mission Month, it enables us to keep what is important to God to be our primary concern. Keeping the most important issue our primary concern. So, Pastor, why do we have a whole month of missions? That's the reason why. We set aside this time to focus on what is important to God, the salvation of lost souls. So I want to encourage you this month, as you take home that faith promise card, pray about, first of all, what part God would have you do to help us reach people for Christ, and pray for others to do the same. Now, if you would, please, go back to John chapter 4. Interesting, this woman at the well, Christ told her, asked her, would you give me some water to drink? And she wondered why he asked that, because she was a Samaritan. And look what he said to her in verse 10, John 4, verse 10. He said, then answered, and Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee, what? Living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the water is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. So he told the woman, if you knew who you're talking to, and you knew what the gift of God was, you'd ask me, and I would give you living water. And this living water would spring up in you, and that you would have everlasting life. One more verse, and we'll close. Go now to the last book of your Bible, the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 22, the last book, the last chapter. And look how John concluded this book he also wrote. John chapter 22, look in verse 17. John 22, 17. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will take, that is, whosoever will, let him take the waters of life, how? Freely. Close your Bible, please, look up here. Jesus was speaking to a woman about her need, her spiritual need of salvation. And he spoke to her about a gift called the gift of God. He spoke to her about who he was and what he had to offer. He said, I offer you water that's free. And this water will spring up you into everlasting life. So whether you're watching us by live stream or here in this congregation today, have you ever received God's free gift? Have you ever taken Christ to be your Savior and thereby have an everlasting life? If not, you can do that today. For those of you that have, what I want to encourage you to do this month, lift up your eyes and look around you. Look at your family. Look at your neighbors. Look at those you drive around and see many of them are white, a harvest that's white, all ready to harvest. Interesting, the color white meant the harvest was overdue. It was overripe. And he said, look up, the harvest is white, all ready to harvest. So I want to encourage you to focus with me this month on the responsibility God's given to us to reach our world for Christ. Let's bow together, please. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, this morning I've been speaking to those of you that know Christ. And help us to see why we have set aside as a body of Christ known as First Baptist Church, to set aside a whole month to focus on missions. It's our Christ's desire that we would lift up our eyes and look around us. Take our eyes off the important things that we do in everyday life that can distract us from something that's more important. To focus on the spiritual needs of others. To focus on the lost and dying world. And I want to encourage you during this month that you would see an urgency to care. You would see an urgency to pray. And even see an urgency to possibly go. That you would ask God what part He would have you to have in helping us reach our world for Christ. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, God wants you to go to heaven. He wants to give you what is called the gift of eternal life. It's a gift because it's been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. All that's required of you to go to heaven, as far as any work or merit, Jesus Christ has already done. On the cross, He died for you. He was buried and rose again. And He offers you eternal life. And if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, why not do that today? Why not take His gift of eternal life and have a home in heaven? You say, Pastor, I like to do that. I am not certain heaven is my home, but I like to receive His gift. How do I do that? You can do it right now in the quietness of your mind. You can trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. In a simple prayer, you can put your dependence upon Him, and He will save you. He'll give you the gift of eternal life. You say, Pastor, I like to do that, but I don't know what to pray. Let me lead you in prayer. As you talk to God in your own thoughts, maybe just say something like this. Just say, Dear God of heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And because I have sinned, I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe that Jesus, your Son, was punished in my place. The judgment that I deserve, that I have earned, He took upon Himself. When He died on the cross, I believe He died for me. To pay for my sin, I believe He was buried, and I believe He rose again. And right here today, I am trusting Christ to be my Savior. I'm trusting Him to do for me what I cannot do for myself. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. My friend, did you pray that prayer today? Did you trust Christ to be your Savior? If you did, according to the Bible, heaven's your home. That you have eternal life and a home in heaven. But I'd like to know if anyone did that today. I'd like to pray for those who made that decision. So with heads bowed and eyes are closed, if what I said made sense to you and you prayed with me, you trusted Christ to be your Savior, with no one look around, would you, right where you're at, right where you're sitting, would you simply raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning? Anyone all, Pastor, raise my hand, I trusted Christ, would you pray for me? Anyone all this morning? All right, Father in heaven, I hope that means each one here has already trusted Christ and they have that gift of eternal life. And I pray, Father, that this month that you help all of us that know Christ to look past our everyday important matters and look to what is most important to you, and that's the salvation of a lost and dying world. Help us lift our eyes up and see those around us and their need of a Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.